rollover existing funds to the public service grant that were not used was taken out of the legislation because it opened up a Pandora's door as it related to all funding that goes on in the city of Jacksonville. So that they requested we take that out. We then began to talk about the floor and the amount for the floor. And the number that has been arrived at is $7 million. Now, that is a $7 million, what was a goal is now an aspiration. And what I mean by that, a floor is now a goal. And what I mean by that is that the legislation refers to it as an expectation, but not a requirement. But Councilman Carlucci and his conversations with administration feels confident that they will, at a minimum, follow that format, which means that next year's funding would be at the $7+ million. So that is a significant improvement over where we have been. What the big unknown is how much will actually now flow through public service grant. And then in addition to that, at our last meeting with Ms. Grant's committee, and I'll let her speak to that, there was an additional opportunity that was presented to us that I also think has merit, but I'll let her speak to that. In the midst of all this, Ms. Mixon has been vehemently effort, creating documents, talking to people, making things happen, and I believe that part of the reason we have been able to get where we are is because of her efforts and what she's been doing with her committee. So all of that is to say that we have great news, I believe. With that comes great responsibility, because the reality is we are probably going to see more grants than we've ever seen before that we're going to be responsible for shortly. So that puts a much more significant burden on us as committee members and volunteers. I have a letter to the editor going in, and the primary gist of that is to say that this committee and this process would not be possible without the efforts of each one of you. It is beyond my wildest expectations of all that you do to make this happen. And I know that our nonprofit community appreciates it, but I want the city of Jacksonville and the citizens of Jacksonville to appreciate what you do to make all this happen. Whether that gets printed or not will be another factor, but for all the public record and for the purpose of this meeting, I want to thank each and every one of you for the effort that you are putting forth to make these things happen. I guess we're not going to get a quorum, correct?
Well, it doesn't matter. I can't even get the audio to work, it doesn't look like.
We're going to move forward with reports from Ms. Mixon, both on the Budget Subcommittee and the PSG, and then with Ms. Grant on her committee meeting as well. We will table the elections. We need to vote for chair and vice chair, but we can't do that without a quorum. And we will not be able to vote on what I believe Ms. Grant will bring to the table as well, but we can at least begin to hear what that has to offer. So with that, I will turn it over to Ms. Mixon. And if you would speak to both the Budget Subcommittee and the PSG Funding Task Force.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And the Budget Committee doesn't have a report, but the Funding Task Force does. And I want to thank everyone that has been on the Funding Task Force and also our agency partners for the role that they have played while we met, formulated a strategy, and then moved forward with meeting with City Council. And before I get more into the meat, I was going to ask Mr. Baldwin and Dr. Turner if they would have any reports from their meetings with City Council.
I had no meetings. I called Priestley Jackson, and she was going to set up a telephone meeting, and then when it happened, she wasn't able to do it. She was too busy. Mm-hmm. The Councilman Becton and Councilman, let's see, who else was I supposed to do?
Fair?
No. Who else was it?
I couldn't look.
Anyway, I left messages with their
Salmon.
Pardon?
It was Councilman Salmon that you were supposed to.
That's right. Sorry. And I left messages with their executive assistants. I never heard back. So I could pursue this, but I haven't. I was waiting to see whether that's something I should do. One thing is I do have a meeting later this evening that Councilman Benton usually attends. I don't usually interact with him because he comes in, he stands and talks, and he goes out, but I might be able to buttonhole him for a couple of minutes. And I want to know from what's gone on whether that's a good idea.
Great, thank you. Councilman Carlucci, at the last interaction that I had with him, had asked that we pull back from talking to city council members. It was his impression that we were in good shape at this point, but that would call on us when and if we needed to. He did take the materials that Ms. Mixon created, and he has now been using those materials as he speaks us up to her. I do have a favor. Tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Councilman Carlucci, or excuse me, Councilman Boylan has requested a meeting that is open to the public. It'll be in the Roberts Room on the first floor. And I would ask any and all of you to be present at that. I honestly don't know the specifics of what the purpose of the meeting is.
I have no idea what the hell is that.
But I suspect that Boland is responsible for the Arts Council. So I suspect that it'll have something to do around the funding of the Arts Council and how they may dovetail with what we're doing, but I don't know that for a fact. But I think any and all people that could be there would be helpful, and I please invite you to come, and hopefully you will be there. And in terms of others that I've spoken to, I have spoken to Councilman Carlucci, to Councilman Curico, and we actually had a brief opportunity to talk to Councilman Freeman at Ms. Grant's committee meeting as well.
Where is that meeting?
The Lynn Roberts Room on the first floor. I think it's on the left, the right when you walk in.
The left.
Left.
Okay, but it's in the city. It's in the city hall.
City hall, yes. So that's where we are. My correspondence.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I hope everyone had a chance to see the public opinion column by Nina Waters, which ran Sunday, January the 16th, Florida Times Union, and I have copies if you haven't seen that, but she came out very strongly in support of the Public Service Grant Council, which I think as the head of the Community Foundation was like a good housekeeping seal of approval, and was pleased to see many of our talking points. I did visit with both Council President Newby and Councilwoman Randy DeFore, and had Bill Haley and Michael Holland to go with me, which was very helpful to have their support and also for them to serve as a voice of the agencies, because they certainly took a very holistic approach and talked about the impact this funding has, and more importantly, the not being funded, what the impact has on the agencies and what we're trying to do. I would say both meetings were very positive. Some helpful information there were, for some suggestions of some council members to perhaps to call on, that it was felt like they would be a no, could possibly be a no vote. And I have that list, and also one feedback we got, which is a little different from maybe your feedback you're getting from Carlucci's office, was that the mayor's office was not supportive of the floor.
Right, and that's why it's moved to a goal.
And we were encouraged to meet with Don Lockhart, if that's going to be appropriate at Councilman Carlucci's eyes. I know some of the agencies are around their boards to attend tomorrow, and as we have more updates on as the legislation moves forward, I think they will be very supportive. So it seems like to me the next step is to find out from Councilman Carlucci, do we continue at some point to set up appointments to meet with council's members to make that case, and do we try to set up a meeting with Don Lockhart to make our case.
I don't have an answer to that, but...
I don't have an answer, but I will see if I can get some feedback. I think maybe we can get some of that answer tomorrow. I was under the impression, based on what Councilman Carlucci provided, was that he had come to an agreement based on the use of goal rather than floor. But if we do need to follow up, I definitely want to do that.
And maybe that was the difference, floor versus goal.
Anything else on your committee?
That's it.
Thank you. Ms. Hunter, did you say she's online?
Courtney is, yeah.
Is she a rules subcommittee?
No, they haven't met.
Oh, she can't hear us, so we can't hear her, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what...
Ms. Cram.
Yes. So, good afternoon, everyone. So we had our most vulnerable persons committee meeting on January 11th, and it was quite a productive meeting. The charge for that meeting was for us to review the categories of the most vulnerable persons to see whether or not we need to keep them the same or change them or just kind of reevaluate what we're doing with those committees. During that meeting as well, we had Councilman Freeman to come, and the gist of what he recommended or wanted our support on was establishing some micro grants. And those micro grants, from my understanding, and those were that were at that meeting, please fill in any blanks or anything that I missed. But to kind of ensure that nonprofits that are not as large as the ones that usually come before Public Service Grant Council are able to have funds, because they also reach important sectors in our community as well. He discussed some smaller community-based organizations that also need funding, and he would want to do that through those micro grants. We also talked about using the same structure as we use in evaluating the PSG grants as well. And then as we move from that, we went on to review our categories. Bob, am I missing anything that you think might be helpful? In addition, and also that were in the minutes from that meeting, he discussed, because we are kind of bound and strapped for resources among this group, that he had hoped that he would be able to hire someone in some capacity to help with review of those micro grants if that is something that comes to fruition. And I do think, I believe I made the comment as well, if PSGC would be able to use some of that help for our purposes. But again, because it's in its very infancy stages, he wasn't able to provide any information regarding that. But moving on to our categories, also in our little packet today, we discussed that the fact that we have these categories, we worked really hard to kind of gain input from our partners in terms of how we've divided up the categories between acute prevention and diversion and self-sufficiency and stability. But what we also noted that was over the course of the last there have been more applicants and more applicants in different categories. So more applicants in the prevention and diversion category, as well as the self-sufficiency and stability. So rather than changing the structure of the framework, we thought about changing the percentages from what they were. And so what we came up with and what the committee's recommendation is to move the priority need A, acute, to 30%, prevention and diversion to 40%, and self-sufficiency to 30%. Prior to that, I believe priority need A was 25%, and...
No, I think it was 35.
35.
And C was
25. Was 25. So we wanted to reallocate that because we had less applicants in the priority A category. and then bringing the micro grant up within that framework, because we don't have anything established for that yet. We just wanted to kind of add what that would look like within that same framework.
Next meeting, you and I are going to have to test this thing.
So with that said, I think I need a motion to know.
We just need to inform them what our vote will be the next time we vote, because we don't have a majority to.
Oh, that's right. So this is our recommendation moving forward for the MVP, the framework for that. So priority A would be 30%, B would be 40%, and self-sufficiency. Stability would be 30%.
In reference to the microloan, when we talked about two things that we thought would impact an understanding, one was Levitt, and if I remember correctly, he said probably 100,000. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask John to speak to the application process for the micro grant, but it would be a different application based on the organizations that we would be dealing with. And we also suggested that it be on an off-cycle process, so that if we do in fact become responsible for evaluating the microgrants, it would not be at the same time that we evaluate the grants that we're currently evaluating. And as Ms. Grant indicated, they are looking at the possibility of staffing. The other thing that was brought up by one of our nonprofit partners was the real desire to work with the nonprofit center to provide additional coaching and assistance to those micro loan recipients, so that they're given the extra care that they need as they live out those opportunities to make a difference in our community.
And through the chair, I just want to make that correction. It's a micro grant.
Yes. I keep doing that. Coming from the business world, I keep saying micro loans, but excuse me, micro grants. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Reese, I can't get the internet Zoom to work. Mm-hmm. And since we don't have a quorum, and I haven't heard from the other three people that I've texted.
I mean, unless there's other business, we obviously can't take a binding vote on any matters.
Yeah.
So.
Which is kind of what we're doing.
Right. So we're just going to have to end the meeting.
Well, let us. I'd like to still have public comments, even with those that have made the effort to be here. Yeah. And I would also love to hear those responses from those that were with Ms. Nixon when she went to speak with City Council. So.
And I had two questions.
Yes.
If we're doing a micro grant process, one of the implications would be, what would that do to a blackout period with those agents? And I concur that it would be beneficial for those of us scoring to be off cycle, but also blackout periods for that pool versus, and also at some point as we expand funding for this council, have we discussed about expanding the number of people on the council so we can assure that there are at least five people per category that will be able to score?
I wish I had answers to all those questions. I will tell you that it's a moving target. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an answer. I did fail to mention that as it relates to the micro grants, that the application process would be different, and I did mention that, but they also would be, if they would score, I'm sure they would follow the blackout period, but it may be that we don't even get involved. And then the other critical piece to this is that the funding for those micro grants would not come out of the $7 million. That would be an additional funding source added to the public service grant. So, and there is legislation in process for that. Do you know what the actual legislation is?
851
is the legislation for that, and I believe it's being introduced by
851 is the one we've been talking about all along. Isn't there a separate one for micro grants?
That hasn't been introduced yet.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So with that, we will. Any other comments from the council? All right, we'll move to public comments.
Good afternoon, all. I'm Bill Haley from Family Foundations. I'd be happy to share about what my observation was from some of these meetings that we had. The first thing that I'd like to say to all of you is that you did a very, very good job, I think, in putting together a case. The infographic was good. Beth was a very strong representative in the meetings and delivered the message very well. And the partnership with the not-for-profit world, I think, was just a dimension that made it a little bit better because that's where the money's going. There were a couple of things that I thought were effective, and then there were a couple of things I was actually confused about, and I didn't hear you talk about it, Beth, so maybe I heard it wrong when I was in the meeting. The meeting that I was in was with Councilman Newby, and Councilman Newby was kind of an easy meeting because he came out right away and said that he's very supportive of the PSG, the work that you all do, and felt like this was a very important thing for the city to be doing. And he seemed to buy the argument that the $3.4 million that we had to allocate was not enough. One of the strongest arguments I think that was made was the idea that all of these services that the PSG is funding provide the safety net for the city in a way that the city is not capable of doing themselves, because they can't be doing all of the things that the not-for-profits are doing. So if you think about it as an investment, it's a very good investment that the city is making in the PSG Council. Now, here's where I was confused, to tell you the truth. And there were two things that Councilman Newby said that I think made sense, but I didn't hear it in the context of the legislation and what we're talking about with Councilman Carlucci. The first thing that he said was he addressed directly, unless I heard it wrong, mm-hmm. but he addressed directly the fact that this is a rigorous process that everybody has to go through, and that you all work very hard on this. And he thought that it was, I don't know if he thought it was wrong, but he thought it was strange, or maybe a little bit strange, that there was a lot of funding that was being done also by the city council that was outside of the boundaries of the PSG. And this discretionary funding that goes on is challenging for us in the not-for-profit world, because if you're actually sitting back and doing these applications, it is a process. You all know because you read it. So for us to, when we get an award, we're so grateful for all the work that you do, but then there are people that are getting bigger awards that are maybe filling out a one-page application the day before the award is made, and because it's discretionary. And so Councilman Newby addressed that, but he didn't have a solution for it. And I don't think it's in the legislation, which is a shame, because I think that if you all had purview over that money, it would be a better process. So that's point number one. Point number two that he brought up that I thought was interesting was he talked about, and maybe this is the microloans that you're talking about, because what he did say was he said that he would like to see a process where, 150 is probably the top of what you're going to give in the PSG, but he wanted to see smaller organizations that were in a process that could get money and maybe bootstrap their way, because that's the future. I mean, the people that you're funding currently are 3 years in doing what they're doing at least, and they're showing a track record. There are organizations out there that can help the city as well that should qualify for the microloans, and he didn't see that in there. But he thought that all should be in your purview, and he just wanted to make sure that it was separated so that there was a clear distinction between what you're doing with the established not-for-profits and some of these up-and-comers. So I didn't hear you address that, Beth. Maybe I didn't hear it correctly, but that was definitely something he had on his mind. Anyways, thank you for including Family Foundations in the process, because we were thrilled to be there, and I think it was very, very effective.
Thank you.
For the record, we
want to
say that micro...
micro grants. Everybody on one.
Did I say micro loan?
Yeah. Yes. And I said grants under my breath.
My bad.
And Bill, you are correct. And, really, as far as the first point, that's more of a city council ordinance So it's going to be up to City Council to address those issues. And then the micro grants encompasses, I believe, what both Council President Newby and Councilman Freeman are looking towards.
To address your first point, there is legislation in process that will address that, where all funding that is line itemed or not line itemed will go through an appropriation process. So there is legislation, which is why that's $5 million didn't even feel like enough, because now we're getting into that. And I was unaware that $13 million is how much actually flows through the public service grant, and we were only responsible for 3.5. Sorry.
Michael Hallin, Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center, and I had the privilege of accompanying Ms. Nixon to meet with Councilwoman Randy DeFore. I want to say, as Bill did, that Beth's preparations and graphics and everything, I think, were very, very compelling. I think Councilwoman DeFore really was impressed at the fact that we are coming as a PSG council member and a nonprofit agency head that benefits, at least sometimes benefits, from PSG funding. And I felt like she really listened to what we had to say and really recognized that in terms of the $5 million that was available in 2008, equating to $7.1 million today, recognizing the population growth and the growth of our neediest populations and the rise of dire needs like housing, opioids, and what was the third one?
Mental health.
You know, she really was able to grasp that and understand the need for the increase in funding. She did say that she had been received a call from the mayor's office and encouraged to oppose that increase. Yet I still think she remains very open to seeing some kind of a win-win solution if we can arrive at one. I will say that Bill and I had on Thursday, we were on the Nonprofit Center CEO Confidential, so we were able to share the happenings of last week and encourage our CEO colleagues to get involved in this. And I think there are a lot of them, as I'm looking up and looking at the Zoom, that are here today, and there are others that are planning on being there tomorrow. So I do think there is really a groundswell of interest and support, as there should be amongst our nonprofit community. I will say that I have really tried to feed as much back to Rena Coughlin at the Nonprofit Center, and I know she is in touch with Nina Waters and the mayor's office and others, so a very, very useful link and advocate on behalf of the nonprofit community there. I sent out to my own board of directors last week Nina's op-ed and kind of a history of our own funding and just the fact that whether we have gotten funding or not gotten funding, that I've been a strong advocate for increasing that funding and asking them to get involved and include the list of all the city council members, their emails and phone numbers, and ask them to contact their city council members. I've heard from some of them that have already done so. I think this is a useful thing to do, regardless of how this comes out. I think the more the city council members hear from citizens that they are active in some capacity with these nonprofits and really see a need for this funding to be increased, it really helps our overall cause. So thank you for letting us be a part of this process, and thank you for all of your efforts.
Thank you. Any other public comments? All right, we will go to, in terms of open discussion, the items that we have not been able to vote on, I'd like you to give thought to. That will be in selecting the chair and the vice chair and the committee members. And then that will also be approving the, I forget exactly the title of your committee.
MVP.
MVP committee, as it relates to the percentages. And then, Ms. Mixon, that will roll to the budget committee. Mm-hmm. That the percentages, as we describe them, are a recommendation of the budget committee, but they will need to be the one that actually brings that to us as a recommendation to the committee, for as it relates to budget.
For the February meeting?
Yes.
So we need to have a budget meeting before the February meeting to do that.
I think we're really all we're dealing with in terms of the budget meeting is the actual percentages. We are already know where we are in regards to the funding we're requesting, and that letter doesn't need to be in until March, correct?
Yeah, well, the funding recommendation goes is April 1st.
Okay.
The actual MVP, what you have in your packet, goes March 1st.
Okay. So okay, we definitely have to pass the MVP task force. And I will also speak to the fact that apparently at some point, Mr. Schneider had heard some from city council members about wanting to reevaluate the categories that we have. And if I, and I'll speak and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was our decision that based on how we felt we were better serving the community with those categories, and that because we were looking at a continuum of care, we felt it was important to stay with the categories that we currently have. And so we were recommending through the task force or the committee that we would continue that as one of our recommendations, that the committees would, the categories would remain the same.
And through the chair, in addition to that, I think also because we've only had that 2 years, the 2 year cycle since mm-hmm. we implemented those categories to really keep mm-hmm. them that way so that we can really truly see how it's impacting our funding.
And we felt also there was no greater participation in the decision on those categories than through our partners, the nonprofit community, and that was why we also felt strong in being able to say that's what we should maintain. And we will probably next year go ahead and begin a process of reevaluating that. But at this point, our recommendation is to keep it the same. So those are the items that will be on the agenda for February. I apologize. You can see the importance of our meeting and quorum in order to move forward. So I would ask, please make every effort to do that. And we will continue to move forward. And again, thank you, Ms. Mixon, for all your effort, Ms. Grant, for your effort on your committee, and for each and every one of you for all that you're doing. And with that, I will end the meeting.